This morning we're going to look at the greatest party invite ever. Now I love parties. They're great fun. They might sometimes look like this. The last party that I was at was my son's five year old birthday, and it did not look like that. It was slightly chaotic. So parties are great unless you're the one running them. They get a little bit tiring, but parties are great. Now I wonder, let's imagine this. You're running a party. It's a great big party. You invite loads of people. And people respond. They'll say, "Oh yes, I want to come. There's one person though who doesn't respond. No, they do respond actually, but they don't turn up. They say, "I'm going to come to the party," but then when the party comes, they don't turn up. I wonder, what do you do? Do you do perhaps what this lady did? I don't know if you know this story. So a little bit ago, there was a five-year-old birthday party at a snow ski slopey thing. They were going turbo tubing, which is when you slide down a hill on a tube. And, you know, all the class people said, "Yes, we'll come." There was one boy who was called Alex Nash, whose parents said he could come, but then realised that they had double booked. They were going to their grandparents' house. And so apparently they tried to contact this lady, but they couldn't find the contact details, whatever happens. And so a few weeks later, inside the child's book bag came this invoice. The parents tried to make Alex Nash pay £15.95 for a no-show fee. They didn't show up to the party, and it cost them £15.95. So they sent this invoice. And in the invoice, the letter said, "If you do not pay this, I will take you to the small claims court." Now, I don't know much about the small claims court, but I know it costs you to do something there. It's about £60. And so she could take him to the small claims court, but she'd still be out of pocket. So this lady and the parents both all said, "If she'd have just talked to us, we could have come to some arrangement." I don't know. Obviously, this lady was hurt. She was upset. But I don't know whether exactly that's what I would have done if somebody had said no to our party. Yes, I've been in this situation. We invited people to our wedding and people didn't turn up. And obviously, that cost a seat. We could have had somebody else at that wedding. It just meant I had extra food. That didn't matter. I didn't eat very much at my wedding, actually. But there we go. But we get a bit upset, don't we? And almost rightly so, because we feel like somebody's let us down, or we feel just like as if somebody's just ignored us. And so it makes us feel a bit rubbish, maybe a bit like the mum here. But our parable today that Jesus told us was a guy who got let down by people who said he wanted to come to his party, but instead of issuing an invoice, he invited more people. Instead of just saying, "That's it, I'm grumpy, nobody's going to come to my party," he said, "Well, I've got all this food. We may as well still have the greatest party ever." And I want you to see this morning that God has invited us all to the greatest party. Better than a trip to Funkies, which is what Josiah's been invited to. Better than turbo tubing for £15.95. Far better than going to have a party with Barack Obama and George Clooney, which, by the way, would cost you $40,000, just in case you've got spare change. Far better than any of those parties. In fact, this party is the party that one member of the dinner where Jesus sat calls the Feast of the Kingdom of God. The greatest party ever is heaven. It's going to be a feast in heaven. And I want you to see this morning that we are all invited. Let me give you a little bit of a backstory to the parable that Jesus tells us. Beforehand, Jesus is actually having dinner at a Pharisee's house. If you just turn over the page, you'll see that Jesus is there and he's having dinner at a Pharisee's house. Now, you might be thinking, wow, Jesus doesn't normally eat with Pharisees. And that's true. He doesn't normally eat with Pharisees. He's normally having a go at them for a reason. But he goes for dinner because Jesus welcomes sinners and all sorts of people. And he's there and he's having dinner. But he says to the host, "Do you know what? When you have a party, you shouldn't just invite your friends. When you have a party, you shouldn't just invite rich people and important people, because they can pay you back. If you have a party and you invite poor people, they can't pay you back. and you'll get your blessing in heaven. But also, Jesus says as well to the people sat around the table, he says, when you go to a party, don't assume that you're the most important person at the party. Because if you go and sit in that seat of honour, which is normally the seat next to the host, if you sit there and then somebody walks up and says, that's my seat, you're going to look like a bit of a muppet because you're sat in the wrong seat. Whereas actually, if you go and sit in that lowest seat, the seat furthest away from the host will come to you and say, oh, brother, you should come and sit next to me. You are the guest of honour. And then you will be not humbled. You'll be sort of raised up. And so Jesus is telling these Pharisees that they shouldn't think of themselves as being important. They should think of themselves as just being normal people. They shouldn't make themselves look great, because if they think they're great, then somebody's going to humble them. Somebody's going to bring them down and put them in their place. But if they are humble, then they will be raised up. And so Jesus has ruffled a few feathers. And then when he says about inviting poor people to the party, I can imagine that the Pharisees are probably going, oh man, this guy, why did we invite him? Oh, he's a nightmare. But somebody says, right, I've got an idea. I'm going to say something. And this is going to make me sound really clever and really wise. And everybody will agree with me. And so, at the start of our parable, in verse 15, this person at the table hears Jesus say that in heaven, at the feast of God, is going to be a blessed time and all that kind of thing. The man says, blessed is the one who's going to eat at the feast of the king. And they're probably all thinking to themselves, yeah, that sounds good, doesn't it? I'm going to be blessed, because of course I'm going to be there around the table of the king at the greatest party ever. They're probably all going, yeah, they're probably thinking to themselves that they're brilliant, that they're going to be at this party. But then Jesus tells us this parable. He tells us this parable about a man who has a great party and invites many people. And I guess this is probably a story, which is a great thing about parables, isn't it? It's a story that we can understand, because a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the earthly story is there's a man, he has a party, and people don't turn up. Whether you've been in that situation or not, we can all sort of get on board with that. Yeah, I'd be annoyed. I'd be a bit angry. And so the people around the table are probably thinking, oh yeah, I'd be a bit annoyed too. And Jesus goes, and the invite, the party that the man throws, people don't turn up. They don't just forget about the party. These people don't think that the party is very important. To them, they've got better things to do. One guy's got a new field. One guy's got a new ox. And one guy's got a new wife. And for them, they're all great things. But they're more important than going to the party. And so Jesus tells us this parable, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And what we're going to see this morning is we are invited to the greatest party ever. You are invited to the greatest party ever, and we need to RSVP. So we'll get onto that. So this invitation that we're looking at first, this invitation that the man offers is a massive invitation, okay? So he invites lots of people. So Jesus tells us a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. This wasn't just some sort of like exclusive little party. This was a big old party. This was like the biggest party ever thrown. So it's a huge party. And when we see that the people give their excuses, when we see that the people say, oh no, I don't want to go to that party, I've got more important things to do, we see that the guy invites loads of other people. He finds lots of other people to invite. The people from the streets, the crippled, the lame, the blind people. And even then, that's not enough. This invite is so big that he tells his servants to go out of the city and find even more people outside the city. It's a big invite. This is a wide invite. And it's an invite for lots of different kinds of people. It's an invite for the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. It's for the people who are outside of the city. And the invite that Jesus is talking about here is an invite from God. God is the man in the story. And God is inviting us to the big party in heaven. He's inviting us to that great big party in heaven. And he invites different people. The first people to be invited, well, that's the Jewish nation. They were the Pharisees and all of that. and it's the Jews and their leaders. But actually, they ignore Jesus. Already by now, we've a few years into Jesus' ministry, already by now, the Pharisees are hating Jesus. The Pharisees are thinking, what can we do about this guy? He's not right. We need to sort him out. And so they're coming up with excuses to try and ignore Jesus. They ignore some of all the miracles that he does. They ignore his teaching because they think this guy is blaspheming. They think he's speaking against God. They think he's a bad guy. So they are ignoring him. But then who else is invited to the party? Well, he invites the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Those are the outcasts. And throughout Jesus' life, we see people having a go at Jesus for eating with the sinners, the people like the woman at the well of Samaria who was in a different relationships. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, he was like the worst of the worst. But Jesus keeps on going to the sinners. So Jesus welcomes the blind, the lame, the crippled, the outcasts, the losers. But then the invite is even bigger than that, isn't it? It goes outside of the town. And those people are us. It's the Gentiles. It's people who weren't in Jerusalem. And so God's invite starts off being for people in Jerusalem. And it's the sinners, and it's for everybody. And then he widens the invite through Jesus to all nations. And it's a theme we see throughout the Bible, that God's people are going to be all people from every tribe and tongue and nation. Everybody is invited, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are clever or not very clever, whether you are English or African or Israeli or anything. We are invited to God's great big party in heaven, because God's invite is a big invite, but it's also a free invite. Nowhere does the man in the parable say, I'm going to have to invoice you for not coming to my party. Nowhere does he say, you've got to pay £40,000 to come and have dinner with the President of the United States. Nowhere does he ask us to bring a bottle of wine and flowers, or, if you're in my family, a random item of fruit. It's healthy and, you know, it's great. God doesn't ask us to bring anything, and we don't have to take anything for this party invite. All we have to do is just accept the invite. We just say, I have to RSVP. We have to turn up. We have to accept it. It doesn't cost us anything. We don't have to take a bottle of wine. And some people will accept it. And some people won't accept it. As we see in the parable, there's people who won't. They make excuses. But there's some people who come happily. And actually, you look at the story and you think, right, these guys, these rich guys, they're not bad excuses. Having a field, having a cow, having a wife. They're all good things. But they're things that get in the way of God. They're things that they put as more important than God. But then the people who could have the biggest excuses, like the cripple, well, I can't come to your party because I can't get there. I can't walk. Or the blind guy, I'd love to come to your party, but I can't find the house. Or the poor person, I'd love to come, but I haven't got the right clothes to wear. Jesus doesn't care about any of that for the invites. And these people know that they don't have anything. And they know that they don't really deserve to come to the party. Yet they accept it. They don't make the excuses. I wonder, when you hear that you're invited and that there's a free invite, I wonder what excuses we might come up with today. Maybe we might think that we're too busy to think about Jesus. Maybe we're just focusing on our career first, and then we'll think about Jesus a bit later on when we've made a bit of money, when we've got a nice house and our big car and our holiday home in Zanzibar. Don't know why Zanzibar. It's because there's the Zanzibarbarians there. But anyway, maybe we're thinking we're too busy. Maybe we think, I don't want to listen to that invite yet, because it means I have to stop sleeping around. I have to actually, you know, not have sex with lots of people. Or maybe our excuse is, I'm too young. I've got lots of time to go on with my life. Maybe I'm a bit young. I don't need to respond to Jesus just yet. I can wait for a little bit. Or maybe we think, I'm too upset. I'm too hurt. I can't cope right now. I'm better on my own. I just can't think about Jesus. There's too much going on in my head. I just can't do it. I'll do it when I'm sorted, when everything's all right, when my kids are at school, when my kids are at uni, when I'm retired. You know, we all come up with different excuses for not doing things. But folks, let me tell you this morning, as we see at the end of the parable, there's an expiry date. This invite, it's a free invite, it's a big invite, but it's not an invite that lasts forever. Jesus says in verse 24, not one of those who invited to my banquet will get a taste. Because you can't respond to something when it's too late, can you? You can't respond to an invite if you're not around to go to it. And I'm looking out here this morning, there's some people who are young, and there's some people who are a little bit more advanced in years. We don't know what time we have left. Let me tell you a story about my friend Clayton. When I was growing up, Clayton lived on one of the sort of council estates near where my church was. He was a great kid, got into a bit of trouble, and sort of embroiled in a bit of gang stuff. But he kept on coming to church, kept on coming to our youth group. And then I moved away to university. He was a few years younger than me. And he started going to a different church. And one day, I can't remember exactly, I think I phoned my mum. And my mum said, I just want to let you know, we've just had the funeral for Clayton. Clayton was 15. He walked out of his door and he got stabbed. I didn't know that was going to happen. He didn't know it was going to happen. We don't know. We cannot put time on this. Here's a scary stat which I found. Every year, 2 million children under the age of 15... So that's rules some of you out, I'm afraid. But 2 million children under the age of 15 experience an accident in or around your house in a year. 2 million. It might be a little accident, like, you know, cutting your finger on a knife. Or it might be a bit of a bigger accident. But friends, we don't know. We cannot know. If we knew, life would be boring, I think. But there is a sell-by date. Not a sell-by date. There is a date on this invite. Because we can't invite, we can't respond when it's too late. We need to RSVP. God makes it so easy for us to RSVP because we don't have to do it with money. We don't have to do it with flowers. We don't have to write a letter. We just have to follow Jesus. We just have to say, I trust Jesus. We just have to do what what the guys have done up and said already. They realize that Jesus was their Lord and Savior. They realize that he is important. They realize that he's in charge. They realize that he has saved them. And that is all we have to do. God wants you at his party. God has invited you. This isn't just a little invite. This is a big invite. It's not just an invite for a certain people. This is an invite for everybody. And God wants you there. He wants you in his great big party in heaven. Even if you're the biggest mess up, even if you think that nobody could possibly love you or want you, even if you think that you're perfect, God wants you. God has sent Jesus so that you can come to his party. He wants you there. He wants you there so much, he was willing to send his son to die. It might not cost us anything, but it cost God everything. It cost his son his life. Let's have a look at the people who did accept this invite. They were the dodgy types, weren't they? They were the poor, the crippled, the lame, the people that nobody really would want to go near. And the guy doesn't go out to them and say, I need you to go and run background checks, otherwise they cannot come to the party. Like, I guess, the Secret Service would do if you're going for dinner with the president. No, he wasn't just to go and find the nice people. He was to go and get the people who wanted to come. He was going to give them this invite. And even after them, he was to go outside and just find the people who were free to come to the party, who wanted to respond to this invite. There was no background checks. They all received the free invite. Has God invited you? Well, the answer to that is yes. God has invited you. He did it by sending his son, Jesus. But are you making excuses? Are you ignoring Jesus? Are you just going on saying, well, I'll do it later. It's okay. I'm okay now. I'm young. I want to have a party of my own. I've got better things to do. Are we coming up with excuses? Perhaps you are, and perhaps you realise that they are excuses that are getting in the way. We'd love to talk to you. Come and grab me. Come and grab Gary, one of the elders. Come and talk to us. We wanna talk to you about it. We want to show you how great this invite is. Perhaps you've come with a friend or a family this member. Talk to them. I'm sure they won't mind you talking to them. Ask them questions. Ask them what their story is. Here's an important question for you to ask. Ask them, why are you still a Christian? It's a question I heard this week, and actually it's changed my perspective. Because often we talk about, oh, I was a Christian because this happened. But actually, I want to know why I'm a Christian now. What is it about now? What is it about this invite now that makes a difference to my life? It was great hearing the stories from the guys earlier, because they all said something that helps them, like something that helped them in their story about what it means for them to be a Christian now. Ask your friends, why are you a Christian? Why are you still a Christian? God has invited you. God wants you at his big, great big party in heaven. He wants you there. You just need to RSVP. But perhaps this morning, and great if you have, you've already accepted that invite. Perhaps you know that you've got a place at that big party in heaven, but perhaps you make excuses for other people. Perhaps you look at somebody and go, oh, I don't like his tattoos. Oh, I can't talk to him. Or perhaps you think, oh, that person, they're too bad. God can't possibly want them. Or perhaps you think somebody won't want to know because maybe they're part of another religion. Or perhaps you think that you might get in trouble for doing it. God's invite is for those people. They are the ones that, for us, are the outcasts, aren't they? The people we think they're just too dodgy. God's invite is for them, and they need to know it. We need to be making sure that we are telling people about that invite. They are invited to the great big party in heaven because it is a party for everybody. But maybe this morning, you've accepted the invite. You're looking at the baptism. You're looking at Thomas, Luke, and Bethan, as they're getting baptized. And you realize that you haven't yet made that physical, external expression of your faith, that public declaration. Think about it. Think about that God has invited you. Think about that you've accepted it, and think about proclaiming that to your friends. Because that's a great way to show your friends that there is a great big invite in heaven, that there's this great big party ever, and we are invited. God has invited you to his party. Will you be there? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you that through him dying on the cross and coming back to life again, we are invited to that party. Help us as we think about whether we have accepted that invite. Help us to think about what excuses we might make. But ultimately, help us to focus on Jesus. Help us to remember, realize that you love us, that you want us at your party, and let us give thanks if that is true for us today. Amen.